Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community, the website communityeducationnetwork.com, the podcast Conscious Corner, and this show are platforms of educational content to aid the effort of self and collective improvement in which we desperately need, evident by many non-constructive activities occurring worldwide. I am your host this evening, Rasaki Maskani. Tonight's guest is Damian McCalman of the organization Elevate Your Game. I work with Mr. McCalman weekly at our high school. He has one of the calmest demeanors I've ever witnessed, and his work content is very effective when dealing with our students. Good evening, Mr. McCalman. How are you? Tell us some things about yourself, and please present your organization, Elevate Your Game, to us.
Nice. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you fellas. A little bit about myself. Grew up, I'm 44 years old, husband, father of three. Grew up in, I was born in Watts, California. Lived out there all the way up until my 10th grade year, where when my family moved, my mom moved us to Lakewood, California. So growing up in Watts, I was bused to the Valley. I went to school in the Valley from first through ninth grade. So that's all I knew. And I think that that experience plays a part in who I am today. But it also, I saw the negatives of it, just not having friends that were neighbors. I didn't go to school with my neighbors. I didn't get a chance to do that until my 10th grade year. But moving to Lakewood and going to school with my neighbors, friends, those are my friends to this day. So graduated high school in 96. So, you know, the friends that I met at Artesia High School in Lakewood are my friends today. But just the experience of being bused, I think plays a role in how I think, how I act, you know, completely. I think my mom told me she did it, just better education. You know, she was like, same district, would have been LAUSD either way, but she just knew the system and she decided it was best to bust me and my sister. So from there, like I said, Lakewood was where I became probably who I am, you know, really today, because that's where I was able to just be me amongst my friends and amongst my family. Completely. And from there, you know, everything just sort of took off. Like I said, graduated from Artesia High School, didn't really know what I wanted to do after school. It wasn't a conversation that I don't remember me and my mom ever talking about life after high school until I graduated. It was like, what are you going to do now? It was like, I don't know. What can I do? What should I do? I really didn't know. I tried Long Beach City for a little bit, but I couldn't figure that out. Couldn't figure out what I wanted to do in life. And then I just started working. Worked Target 12 years. But it was there where I kept having other coworkers tell me that, you know, don't get stuck here. They would say that to me on a regular basis. I'm like, what does that mean? Don't get stuck here. Don't get stuck here. There's more for you to do than just work here. And it, you know, it pushed me to go back to school. Still didn't know what I wanted to do, but I went to school just to not get stuck. But I still just took more classes. And from that day and or from that time, it just ultimately led me to Elevate Your Game, which is a nonprofit organization that runs mentoring programs in high schools in Compton, Long Beach. And we've been in other schools and school districts throughout over in the Crenshaw area. We was at View Park, Crenshaw High a little bit. Did some stuff at Frederick Douglass High School in the Adams District. And that's it, you know. So my life, I think it all plays a role with me in my role. I think you said my calm demeanor. You know, that's all just a part of my growing up. And just trying to stay calm in the midst of stuff, in the midst of wildness, trouble, in the midst of chaos. I just try to stay calm so I wouldn't get involved in it. So But Elevate Your Game, you can show the website again. Elevate Your Game has been in operation since 2002. It was started by Michael Freeman and Gibson Lyles. Gibson Lyles was a principal at Compton High School, and he made a plea at an alumni gathering in 2001 about people just coming back to the school and helping. And Michael Freeman, my director, he was already doing work with World Impact Ministry. So he said, hey, I'll do it. He was an alumni of Compton High. So he came back, or he went back. And for 20 years, he's been running a program. I run programs separate from his. But, you know, he's been at it for 20 years. I've been at it for 10. And it's been a great joy for me just to come on campus and be a voice of influence to these young students that we meet over the years, over my 10 years. Elevate Your Game, you know, it's an acronym. GAME is an acronym: grades, attendance, maturity, empowerment. Those are the four things that Gibson Lau felt that his school was lacking. The students were lacking the encouragement to do great with their grades, the encouragement to come to school, you know, which is the attendance piece, the encouragement to be mature. And then ultimately, you know, he said, if they do those things, they'll be leaders on campus and in their camp and in their community. So we've been at it. And like, I think what you're seeing now is just, you know, we're really trying to get people to have mentoring conversations with youth. That's all we do. You know, whether it's my programs or his programs, we're just having mentoring conversations with youth. Some of our schools, Compton High School, is an adult mentoring program, but all of our other programs, besides the one that I'm running now, is a peer mentoring program. Like you see the pictures there, where we recruit juniors and seniors who are doing well in those four areas to mentor freshmen and sophomore, and just be a real influence and voice on campus. That picture that you see there is Mr. Lyles talking to the Dominguez football team. That's me at Centennial a few years ago, just training. We do a summer internship. So that photo right there was from, this one is Chuck E. Cheese, but the one before that was, we have a board member from Metro. He works with Metro, LA Metro, and they just came down and talked to our students about working for Metro and not just being a bus driver, but all the careers that you could be with Metro. They came out and talked to the students about it. So that's what we do. And it's for 10 years, it's been fun. So I haven't had a bad day. Being on campus, you know, sometimes the kids are just difficult. But, you know, if I could reach one out of that group, I always feel like I did my job. You know, if one got something out of the conversation, the job was done. So, you know, that's just what we do. And that's what we're doing now. So I'm opening up to you guys. You guys have any questions before I just keep talking?
Okay, we're going to go to Professor Ra. Professor Ra.
Yeah. Again, I want to welcome you here, Brother Daniel. And we appreciate what you've said, if I understand it correctly. Just a couple quick questions. You said that y'all work with kids that's doing good.
Yeah, well, we recruit the kids on campus who are excelling in their grades to work with students who may not be.
Oh, so you're getting peer mentors.
Yes, it's peer mentoring. And yeah, that's just one of the programs, or a few of the programs that we run.
And, okay, so when you say you recruit them, And what is the process? You say you train them?
Yes.
And what do they mentor them in?
Okay. So I'll go from the beginning. The recruitment process is just, you know, when we come on school grounds at the beginning of the school year, we got to get, of course, permission from the principal to go into classrooms and recruit students. Sometimes it's really just going into, you know, like, let's say, we know that you have a leadership program on campus, or we know you have ASB. we'll just talk to the ASB group and say, hey, won't you guys become leaders for us? Won't you guys become mentors, you know, to train, to mentor the peers? Some schools will just go to the principal or vice principal and say, hey, who are your excelling students? Who are your excelling juniors and seniors that we can talk to see if they would become mentors? And then we'll just recruit freshmen, whoever the freshmen are. You know, a lot of times it's harder to get the ones who might need it most because they're like, I'm not trying to stay after school for no mentoring program, or I'm not trying to come to lunch. But some schools will just get them for us and say, here's your group that need mentoring most. So it can go in either way. Like I do a lot of programs now that are connected to already established programs on campus where all the students might just be in need of something more. And it's just all freshmen. So I'll go in and just have conversations about really life, but tying in grades, attendance, maturity, and leadership, because, you know, they don't really want to talk about grades.
When you say you're mentoring them, mm-hmm. mentoring them to go to school, be motivated to want to go to school and want to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, when you say yes, internships, are yes. they paid internships or are they volunteer internships?
They get a stipend. In years past, the stipend has been $400 for just 8 days of work spread out over 3 weeks. And it depends. Like when we partner with Metro, they get way more. They get almost like paid hourly. But because we're a nonprofit, you know, we have to raise all that money. And it usually equals out to $400 per student. And in years past, we've had 25, 35 students participate.
And y'all been doing this. You've been involved 10 years. And one of the ministers been involved 20 years.
Yes.
Okay. So when you dealing with that form of a project, it's very challenging, you know, in this atmosphere, yeah. in this day and age. And most parents don't even want their kids to stay after school. You know, yeah. it's not just the kid don't want to stay. Huh. Most parents for safety reasons and just yeah. you know, hey, work reasons and all kind of things that they need the kids at home. But the point is, maybe the babysitter or the help with chores. My point is that do you have examples of kids that you mentored mm-hmm. that was doing bad that you turned around and they're successful in school? Or in life?
Yes. Yes.
Do you track the kids? That's my point.
Say it again.
Do you track the kids?
Yes. We try to track them as much as possible. Like, let's say in years past, we don't have a system of tracking, but we try to just use, like, let's say social media to stay in contact with these mm-hmm. students once they're with us. You know, like what I do is, okay, I'm with you in high school. 9 times out of 10, I don't ask them to follow me, or I don't follow them on social media. But once they graduate, like graduation day, I'm on social media finding them. So now I can see them in high school or college, or I can see that they're working. And I'm always in contact with them, just checking in. How are you doing? You know, what's going on? And we've had a lot of success stories. Like I was telling you, the guy who brought in his Metro team, he was one of our alumni from Compton High School who all he remembers about coming to our program for 4 years was that we encouraged him to show up, be on time every day. You know, that was part of the attendance push. Show up to school, be on time, do that every day. He said before that he wasn't doing that, but he kept hearing it over and over again. So he started to do it. And now he's a board member for us, but he works at Metro. He graduated from USC. He's going back to school, I believe, for his master's. And he's just like one of many who's picked up some conversation that we had with them over the years and are doing something good. Like if you scroll down, there's a picture of me with two young men. Like these two young men was probably 4 years ago, 4 to 5 years ago. They did our summer internship with the public defender's office in downtown LA. They graduated from Dominguez High School. I only met them through the summer program because I don't run a Dominguez program. But from there, we built a relationship to where today I can call Gilbert and ask him. He's a teacher now. He's teaching in the Compton Unified School District. But it's like he's just one of those students who was like, you guys encouraged me to think outside the box. You know, sending him to the public defender's office in downtown L.A., you know, his words were like, I thought I would never be on this side of it. I was always thinking, if I'm going to be at the public defender's office, it's going to be on the other side. So just working over there and just pushing him to do that, pushing him to be professional, you know, whether it's like we see it, tucking your shirt, wear some nice slacks, some nice shoes, because you're going to be in a professional environment. All that stuff was hard for him, but he pushed through it. And now he's teaching. And now he's like, I'm mentoring students in this aspect as well.
Okay. I yield, Brother Rossi.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you to repeat the acronym of GAME again, nice and slow.
Gotcha. Grades, attendance, maturity, and then empowerment. So all of our conversations that we have throughout the school year with our students are tied into one of those four things, if not all of them at the same time. You know, so, but it's not like grade check. You know what I mean? I'm not having grade checks with them, but I might challenge them. Do you know your GPA? Do you know your class rank? You know, I'm surprised that, you know, a lot of them don't know their class rank. And I tell them, like, I didn't know my class rank when I was going to school, but I was like, it's a real thing. And when they look it up and find it, sometimes they're like, wow, I didn't know I was that. But so, yeah, that's what our acronym is. And that's what we're trying to get them to elevate through these conversations.
That's excellent. Now, when you're in the class and you come on every Friday, mm-hmm. you'll be there tomorrow morning. Are you coming at 8 in the morning, right?
Yes, I'll be there at 8.
Okay, so what type of feedback do you think you're getting from these kids? Because you've been with us for this year.
Yeah.
Do you see any improvement in any of them?
The improvement that I see, and like I said, because we don't do the grade check aspect of it, at least here in this program, but I think the improvement is their thinking, you know, their ability to do the math and say, wow, if I keep doing this, this is going to be the result, you know. So from the beginning of the school year to now, that's really what I'm looking for. But at the end of the year, we'll do a survey where we're asking them, did you improve in any class this year because of our conversations? Did your attendance get better or worse? Do you feel like you're more mature? You know, and I always tell them to be 100% honest. Don't lie and say, you know, my grades improved and they didn't, because that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I know that. I know the principal called me this past summer, mm-hmm. and said that the teacher that was doing it the year before left our school.
Yeah,
so he asked me to do it, and I said fine. And then we had like a period of time where your program and the other program. I guess what it wasn't board approved or something. So you guys didn't come in until about maybe the second quarter or something.
Yeah.
So it took a while for you guys to get there. Is that something that happens often where you guys are held up? Because I think if you guys would have been there in the beginning of the school year, you would have even had more impact on the kids. I saw some change in some of them.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a, both programs are excellent.
Yeah.
And was there something that happened where you guys were delayed like that?
I think the only delay this year because of the change, it was just because of the change. Like, let's say the teacher last year, you know, it was, if it was him, I didn't even go through the principal last year. I went to him because the year before I was with the football team. So I said, hey, can we do this again with your football team? He was like, I'm not coaching this year, but I have this group. You're free to come do it. You know, so for this year, it was more of a, I don't know who the principal is. We don't have a relationship like we did in years past. So it was trying to sort of go through him and say, can we be here? Because I had never met him. So that's what delayed us this year. Because if, let's say it was a principal before him, easy, because they already knew me.
Okay, because I know that there's the lady that I don't want to mention any names on here, but she's with the county that works on our campus,
and I think they were something
with the board. It had to be board approved or something, because it's an actual class, Urban Scholars.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, did you know why it was being held up other than that?
It was just that the connection piece, because I wanted to meet the principal first so that, and then it was just like, years past, I knew them. It was just a quick stop by. I could just drive by the school and say, hey, it's me, I'm back. They were like, great. But I didn't know him. So I didn't want to just be on campus without him knowing what we were doing.
Got it. All right, Professor Ron.
Yeah. You said you went to Artesia High?
Yes, sir.
In Lakewood. Is Artesia High in Lakewood or three, though?
Lakewood. It's right on the border, but they classify it as Lakewood.
Where is it located?
Off of Del Amo and Pioneer.
Okay. Did you know she was an English teacher?
Was she Black? Most likely, huh?
Yeah.
I believe so. I can't think of her name.
I can't think of her married name. Her first name was Elaine.
Is she alive still?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, did she have a heavy, heavy set son?
No.
Wait, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember her last name.
Okay. But now, let me get back to, first of all, it's good that y'all are in there working with kids.
Hey, most people gave up. You know what I mean? Even parents gave up. So, you know,
how much emphasis is on personal character and values?
A lot. And we try to tie that into all the four things. You know what I mean? Like, and it could be the conversation of, do you value education? So we always want them to think of their personal value system or even their family value system. Because if they don't value education, it plays a role into them doing school well, you know. So we don't, like, one of the things that I try to do is not tell them what to think, but tell them to think. But I want to know what your values are, and I want you to know what your values are, because a lot of them don't know.
Well, but I mean, how do you deal with the contrast of the hip hop generation, the peer pressure, the fact that a lot of kids are in foster homes, placement homes. I mean, it's good you're picking up the ball and working with the kids indiscriminately.
Yeah.
What percentage is Black and what percentage is Latino?
I'm gonna say like today, the majority of our programs in Compton are Latino. You know, and it's I guess that's the demographics of the city and the schools. But like if we go to Long Beach, and then when I'm in Linwood, 99% African American. When I was at View Park in Crenshaw, of course, 99, you know, high percentage. And then Long Beach, my Long Beach programs is about 50 to 60, if not 70% African-American, because in those programs, I'm partnering with a program that's already been established. So it's just a little bit different, but we do things to reach African-American boys, like mentor football teams. Like over at Compton Dominguez, we know that the Black boys are there, you know, or at least majority of them are there, and they're captive audience because they're not, over the years, they have not volunteered to come. So we said, okay, well, let's get you where you are. You're on a football team. You're on a basketball team. We'll partner with your coach and bring these conversations to you to reach them.
You know, I noticed, you know, that a lot of, well, the high school programs, not the program, well, I've noticed that they, a lot of sports programs in high school don't have a strong emphasis on the academic side of things. Mm-hmm. Do you think that your organization could look into having a portion of your program towards academic enhancement of athletes?
We're trying.
It's really needed. It's a necessity. And a lot of coaches focus more on the athletics than the academics.
Oh, yeah.
And then some of the schools let the kids get by playing sports,
with
poor academic grades, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
So do you think that's a direction you guys could start, you know, going in that way direction also?
Yeah. One of the things that we've done because of that is partner with the football coaches. You know, we've partnered with two over at Compton and Dominguez, and then a few out of state. Because like you said, like that's just the thing. So we're saying for those programs that we partner with, like let us have these conversations with your boys, which is in turn is causing the coaches to have the conversations later on, you know, because we're only with them one day at a week. But that one day, the coaches are now picking up the slack, so to speak, throughout the week, where constantly on them about their grades. Because like we know, I always talk to them, like, okay, well, if the school requires you to get a 2.0, if you really want to play college ball, that's not going to work. You know what I mean? Like for real. And I'll tell them to look at the colleges they want to go to. What do they want you to get? Shoot for that. You know what I mean? And and if this doesn't work out, what are you going to do? I had a student years ago when I first started. He played football, but he got a scholarship with football, but he also had an academic scholarship. And I used him greatly over 2 years to bring in younger football guys and let them know, like, look, if I get hurt, which he did, he got hurt his senior year of high school. He was like, but I'm still able to go to San Jose State because of my academics. And I used him to push that. So we're trying to. We're having a little bit of we're running into a wall because, like you said, the coaches aren't necessarily receptive because, you know, like they've told us straight up, like my job is to win games. If I'm not winning games, I will not be here. So, you know, they was like, I hear you, I get it, but they're like, my job is to win. And then I think another issue, because we talked to some coaches recently, there was like, if you got a team of, you know, you got a basketball team, but only six of them come regularly, I don't even have the leverage to use to say, your grades better be here because only six of them are coming. So when they come up for game time, I got to just put them in, you know? So it's like, we're running into that wall, but we're doing a lot. We reached out to bigger organizations who are really putting money into things like that to get their coaches to start encouraging their players to be better academically. But it's we're running into a wall urban wise.
Yeah. I think that, there has to be on the youth coaching level, the youth organizations, push for more academic excellence and helping the little kids, you know, start them off with thinking about academics. That I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
Rod, you have to unmute.
Have you had any, well, I'm pretty sure you've had some disappointments, some drop-ins and drop-out. It's a drop-in, drop-out program.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a compulsory program where the principal say you got to go here for disciplinary reasons or just I choose you and giving incentives to attend. Well, okay, what about the aspect of working with youngsters that, you know, it's, you know, when you're in a school, there's a lot of students that are just taking basic, just to get me out classes.
Yes.
Now, are you requiring that the people that you're training to be mentors be in college preparatory classes, or are some of your mentors just people in basic classes?
The majority of them that actually raise their hand to volunteer are in those college preparatory classes. They're already, you know, they and it's funny because they see us as another thing to put on their college application.
Yeah.
So, but every now and then we will get those who are just doing okay. But they have, like you said, that character quality or the value quality that matters too. You know what I mean? Like, we'll have them say, okay, no, I know, I understand that you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to go to college. You want to just graduate from high school and go get into the workforce. We get that. But you're still valuable. You know what I mean? And you can still speak to someone about them pursuing excellence because you just want to do this. I had a story about a young man who he just walked into our program one day. It was after school. He walked in. He seen a group of people walking in. So he followed them. And we were talking about our affirmation statement. And he just jumped into the conversation, like 100% engaged. But his whole mindset was, we need to think bigger than what we are. Meeting him afterwards, he didn't want to go to college. He wanted to get into the music industry. And that was his whole purpose and career, our goals, aspirations was to get into the music. But his way of thinking, I told him, could affect those who want to go to college. So I want you to be a mentor. I was like, I need you to be a mentor to some of these young boys and encourage them to chase their dreams, even if it's college, even if it's, you know, being a firefighter. But his whole thing was, I don't want to go to college. And I think he felt like the counselors sort of wanted him to go to college. So they didn't want to hear anything else he had to say. But he had the right passions. He had the right desires. He had the right values to where I'm like, you're a perfect mentor for me and my program to reach some younger boys. And he did it for a little bit with us. And he's doing great in the industry that he pursued. So it's like, sometimes we'll get them both.
Okay. Can you, since we have We have audio and video. So can you read the affirmation statement, please?
Yes. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created for a special purpose. I am created to achieve great things in this world. Therefore, I will not settle for low-level thinking, low-level speaking, or low-level living. I will think big, speak big, and live to achieve great things. As I love myself and love others, as I respect myself and respect others, I will conquer every challenge that is set before me. So in some of our programs that my director run, they say this every week that they gather. It's just something that they say weekly. I use it as a mentoring session, maybe once or twice or three times throughout the year, where we go line for line and say, what does this mean to you? And this is that one that he just jumped on and said, this means the world to me, because this is how I think and this is how we all should think. And so it's just that where, you know, some of our students, like alumni, say this is all they remember. It's all they remember from our program is that affirmation statement. So that's really what we're doing every week, trying to get them to grab a hold of this concept so that they can go on and pursue their dreams and their goals and be whatever it is that they want to be.
Well, that's hard to be what you want to be. It takes a lot of work to do that.
Yes.
I once was talking to some kids, and I asked them, what do you think about Obama being president? They say that we can be president. I say, yeah, if you go to law school, you need to be over the law journal.
Yes.
And all that. So wanting a dream and working toward the dream.
Two different things.
You have successes on the way.
Yes.
Like many teachers didn't plan to be teachers, but yes, they ended up being teachers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they got the degree.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the point is that the challenge, you know, let's say, for instance, how many of y'all mentor a year? I mean, what is it, 5, 10, 15?
In a normal year, since the pandemic, our numbers have dropped because we're trying to rebuild.
Well, what was the numbers before and what's the numbers during and what's the numbers after?
I'll say before the pandemic, we probably mentored as an organization about 150 students a year.
Throughout the district? Throughout your programs that you participated?
Yes.
How many schools was it?
The three in Compton. I had three in Compton. I had two in Long Beach. That's 5, 6. So I'll say 7 programs.
And 150 kids.
Yeah. And that's about an average, because like I'll say each in Long Beach, I had a group right before the pandemic where they had 60 kids who were all incoming freshmen, who they was like, that's your group.
Was that at Poly or?
No, that was
technical school.
That was at Wilson.
Long Beach Wilson.
Yeah. So, and at Cabrillo, I had a class of 25. So, and it's just like when we partner with classes, we get the bigger numbers. But when we just do the voluntary stuff, 15 to 20, but that's how it is. So, and ever since the pandemic, like now that we're back on campus, we're probably only going to reach 45 to 50 students this year.
Yeah, our numbers are, we only have 10 in our class.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say that we, one student had some issues and has been absent a lot. And it's one more that it comes about once a week. Mm-hmm. But we have maintained those students.
Yeah.
And I've seen that they are engaged when we run both programs. So I see the benefit of the program and the other programs, because you know, there's like Professor Amara always say that we have to teach beyond our subject, teach, you know, life skills and things of that matter. And these programs are really touching on these life skills in bringing up subjects that the students need to be exposed to. So it's been a good run. And, you know, I hope it continues and it grows. And I'm looking forward to collaborating with you also, bringing something to you to see if you would be interested in the type of programming I got going also. So I'm very pleased with the program and the things that you're doing.
Awesome.
Okay, Professor Ra, any more?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to tell us about the program or anything else you want to talk about?
I would just say, like you said, it's just our hope is really to get others to grab onto it. But then, like you said, like do these on school campuses. Go to your schools, go to your alumni school and say, hey, I want to do this. Of course, you got to have the time. You got to have resources. But we think that, you know, being on campus with them is better than it's all you can ask for. You know, once you get on campus, you got them because they're there. And like you said, like there's some students that don't come, but I've seen over the years who just see me walking down a hallway. And share their progress, or you know, share their struggles. But we want more people to do it. We have resources, the Urban Youth Resources. We created an app. You can download the app. It's called Go Mentor Youth. We went across the country a few years ago before the pandemic, and we went to Chicago, Baltimore, I believe. Philadelphia or Chester, Pennsylvania, a couple other places. And we put this tool in people's hands who work with urban youth. And we just want them to use it because we've seen the results, and we've seen youth just grab a hold of these conversations and propel. And like you said, like we've had our struggles. We've had youth who didn't take a hold of it. But we've seen it and we know that it works. And, you know, we just think that, you know, we just have conversations with these youth about these things. One will stick. One will stick and one will take them, hopefully take them to places that, you know, that they should be. I had a young man over at, go ahead, Professor, I see you.
Okay. You call it, you say mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was mentored by a lot of people, but they like took me up under their wing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like a father or like a big brother or like a person that, hey, you know, I was a project.
Yes.
You know, I was a project. Do y'all do that or is it just classroom motivational speaking type atmospheres or group mentoring?
I'm gonna say it's all of it. And I say it's all of it because like you said, if it's based on the students, because like I have students who graduated from high school maybe 4 years ago who I still stay in contact with. And they see me, like you said, as that big brother to them or uncle to them. And I'll develop that relationship over, or even young ladies who will reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I'm doing good. I just wanted you to know such and such, or what do you think about this? So we try to do it all, but it's not one way for us. It's just anything that we can get, but it starts with just us coming on campus and connecting. What we do from there is really based on what they want from us. Like I said, some will call me monthly just to check in. Some will reach out to me on social media. Some will say, hey, can we go to lunch? You know, I want to catch up. I want to know what you think of this. So it varies, but it all starts off with, like you said, that on-campus group idea. And in the peer mentoring programs, we really want our seniors and juniors to take those freshmen under their wing, because you're with them now Monday through Friday. Take them under your wing. Teach them some stuff. Show them some stuff. Invite them to some stuff. Sit with them. You know, be that everyday mentor if you can. But for us, it's really whatever they need, not need, but allow us to be to them.
Okay, I was going to ask you this earlier. The program that we got for my particular class,
yes,
is all males.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about adding females next year. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I'm be a head of the class anymore, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the program is going to continue. So are you guys targeting more males versus females, or it's just wide open?
I'm going to say now it's wide open because we are just rebuilding the program. But years ago, when we were flowing as we normally would, I started targeting males because I wasn't getting them to volunteer to be in it. So that's what made me go to the football team and say, hey, I got, because let's say at school, I got 25 coming and 20 are young ladies. Only 5 males are coming. I was like, I need to get more males in this program. How can I get them? Football team. There they go. So if it's both, it still works. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it'll be a different dynamic to where I probably will put them in groups to where I'm not leading the whole conversation, but they're having them individually in their groups so that, you know, they can really get it going.
Okay. All right. So, Professor Rob, we're going to see if you have anything else, and then Damien, Mr. McCallum, we're going to see about you, and then we're going to end it.
Yes, sir.
Well, brother, I just want to compliment y'all on your efforts to reach young people and really encourage them to be the best that they can be and develop an agenda for their achievement and benchmarks to show, you know, their progress, their improvement, and to enrich their lives. We really thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mr. McCallum, any parting words?
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to sit with you too. I watch, so I know what you guys do. My wife, she doesn't know Professor, but she remembered his name. He spoke at her sister's graduation from college from UC Irvine many, many years ago. She was like, hey, is that him?
Yeah, I did. I spoke a lot at UC Irvine. My daughter graduated from there.
There it is. So, yeah. Okay. So I'm excited. Yeah,
well, we are sitting amongst a legend here. So
that's what you told me.
I'm just honored to be in his company.
Thank you.
So look, Brother McCallum, man, I appreciate what you do, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with you.
Yes, sir.
I have plenty of ideas, and man, we want you back on as soon as we can get you back on, and we can talk about more things. So I appreciate you, man. Really do.
Thank you, sir.
So now we got a special edition show coming after this one at 8 p.m. A musical group called The Whisper Experience. My cousin is a part of this group, and I'm looking forward to that. So, Brother McCallum, if you're not doing anything, come back on at 8.
Okay.
We in for a little treat here.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. So we will talk about next week's shows at the 8 o'clock show. So I'm going to say, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.